Okay, so last week we concluded with the first section of chapter 5, thank you, Dean. The first section of chapter 5, we looked at Ananias and Sapphira, who sinned, they lied to the Holy Spirit, they tried to deceive people. And from verses 12 through 16, we noticed that the apostles were healing and there were many, many men and women that were being added to the church. And this frustrated the high priest and his associates, who were the Sadducees. And we touched a little bit on the Sadducees last week. We said that, number one, they didn't believe in the resurrection. Number two, they didn't believe in the afterlife. So what were the apostles preaching? Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. So this must have infuriated these individuals. And now we're coming to the latter half of the fifth chapter, and we're going to notice, as we did in the fourth chapter, that the apostles are going to be arrested for their proclaiming the good news. In this section, and by the way, next week's lesson sheets are in the back, and I'll forward that out to you sometime this week via email also, so that you'll have a copy. So in this particular lesson, we are going to look at the apostles being persecuted, and it's a picture of abuse. We're going to notice in Acts chapter 5, verses 17 through 25, and the persecution that they're going to be under. And this persecution is going to continue through the course of history, even today. We know brethren who are proclaiming the word of God in different areas, different countries, are being persecuted for preaching Jesus. We're also going to notice the miraculous delivery through and from persecution. God's going to come and save Peter and the apostles because they are proclaiming his word, something that we as Christians should be doing in our lives daily. We're also going to notice in verses 21 through 25, the failure of persecution. The utter perplexity and frustration for those who are in charge of the council, the high priest, his associates, who are the Sadducees. And they didn't do their job to persecute these individuals. We're also going to see in this part of our lesson that there's reasons to remain loyal. There are reasons to remain faithful. And the apostles did that. An example for you and I today. The apostles were rearrested. The high priest, the Sadducees, and the council put them in jail, and miraculously they were released by God. So they were rearrested. We also can notice that there's reasons to remain loyal. A lesson for us today. In verses 30 to 31, we see that God raised up and exalted Christ. He is our exalted Savior today. A second reason to remain loyal, God made the apostles witnesses to the resurrection. We also see a third reason that the apostles should remain loyal or faithful to God. God's will had to be obeyed. And that's important for us today. When we become Christians, we obey God, no matter what the cost is. Our jobs, our families, our association, we should remain faithful. And finally, the fourth reason the apostles remained loyal was God was able to deliver the apostles from persecution. God is on their side. God is on our side today. When we need comfort, consolation, when we need to be uplifted, we pray to God through Christ Jesus. And I'll tell you, that is a tremendous blessing that we as children of God have. So as we go through our lesson, we're going to look at the first question on our worksheet is, why were the religious leaders opposed to the apostles? In verse 17, who would like to read that particular verse? Thank you. So why were they opposed to them? Exactly. They were filled with jealousy. And when we look at this particular verse, we see that the high priest and his associates, and that was a sect of the Sadducees. And these probably were the same people who were instrumental in having Jesus put to death. The high priest and associates were jealous, angry, and envious of the preaching of Jesus. And when you're jealous, it leads to other sins as well. And the apostles were arrested in jail by the authorities. The persecutors thought that this would be enough to restrain, frighten, and shame them in not proclaiming the gospel message. The religious leaders wanted to, again, have the people give them high esteem rather than following Jesus as the apostles were proclaiming. Can I get a volunteer to read John chapter 15, verse 20, please?
Remember the word that I said to you. A slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute. If they kept my word, they will be poured on.
Thank you, Faith. So we see that when Jesus was talking to his disciples who were the apostles, he reminded them, a slave is not greater than the master. Jesus being the master and the disciples or the apostles were the slaves. And if they persecuted me, that is Jesus, they will also persecute you. So he's reminding them that they will be persecuted for proclaiming God's word. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, Paul shares with Timothy, indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus, will be persecuted. We haven't seen that type of persecution in our lives here in America, but someday we might. Where do we stand as Christians? Do we put God first and obey him like the apostles did in this particular section of Acts? Or we just let the world go by and control our lives? So what happened when the Christians were put in jail And can I get a volunteer to read verses 18 and 19, please?
They laid hands on the apostles and put them in a public jail. But during the night, the angel of the Lord opened the gates of the prison and taking them out, he said.
So die. What happened?
The angel came and opened the door and opened the public.
Exactly. So an angel of the Lord freed the apostles, Peter and the apostles, while they were in jail. So God's deliverance of Peter and the apostles in this situation was miraculous, and it was done by an angel. Now we remember that the Sadducees from last week, they didn't believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe in the afterlife, and they didn't believe in angels. How ironic this must be, because God used angels to free the apostle, Peter and the apostles. That must have been a slap in their face. So what did the angel tell the apostles to do in verse 20? We'd like to read that particular verse. Very good, Wes. So we see in that particular verse, go, stand, speak to the people in the temple the whole message of this life. That's an admonition for us today. We should go out, proclaim God's word to people in the world, our friends and neighbors. We ought to speak to the people as the apostle did in the first century, to those in the temple, the whole message of this life. We see God's purpose for the Peter and the apostles were to go. Go now, go immediately and proclaim the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He also said in that particular verse, stand. Take your stand. Stand without reservation or hesitation. But stand for Jesus. An admonition for us today. And he also said in that particular verse, speak, proclaim, preach, and teach courageously without fear and boldly. And this is what the apostles were doing, boldly proclaiming the message of God. And what were they supposed to do? All the words of this life. And that's the whole gospel of salvation. The glorious message of the death and resurrection of Christ. Not watering down and changing anything so that people will come. But stand firm in what you're preaching. Not holding back and not trying to soften the message to make it more acceptable. The gospel message is in concrete, meaning we have to teach the death, burial, and resurrection. Nothing more, nothing less. And if you add to the word, take away from the word, you'll be guilty of sin. So what did the elders of Israel discover after they met together? In verses 21 through 24. Can I get a volunteer to read that particular section of scripture, please?
Upon hearing this, they entered into the temple about daybreak and began to teach. Now when the high priest and his associates came, they called the council together, even all the senate of the sons of Israel, and sent orders to the prison house for them to be brought. But the officers who came did not find them in the prison. And they returned and reported back, saying, "We found the prison house locked quite securely and the guards standing at the door. But when we opened up, we found no one inside." And when the captain of the temple guard and the chief priests heard these words, they were greatly perplexed about them as to what would come of this.
Okay, Carol, so what did they find?
A locked prison door and nobody inside.
Exactly. And there were guards standing in front of that door. They assumed that the prisons were still there. But they weren't. And they found no one inside. They were perplexed. They were saying to themselves, what happened? Where did these people go? Can I get a volunteer to read John chapter 15, verse 10, please?
If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. This is my father's commandments.
Thank you, Vicky. So we see that Jesus is telling his disciples, who were his apostles, if you keep my commandments, you abide in my love. Just as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Jesus didn't deviate from God's plan. He accepted God's will, something that we should do. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, Paul shares with Timothy and says, "For God has not given us a spirit of Timothy, but of the power and love and discipline. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel, according to the power of God." This is what was Paul's attitude when he was in prison. Suffer with me for the cause of Christ. And we notice that the apostles, Peter and the apostles at this time, were suffering for the cause of Christ. Now the council convened to try the disciples. And the guards were found missing. They didn't find, they had been delivered from persecution, Peter and the apostles. And the council doubted and were perplexed. They could not understand how the disciples could be delivered out of the hand. They were apprehensive about the growth of this new movement. Again, they were afraid that the people would not esteem them and hold them in a place of honor. And in the present situation, the authorities probably thought some of the guards had either willfully released the prisoners or else been careless while on duty. But we know what happened. An angel came and released them. So how were the apostles brought before the Sanhedrin? In chapter 5, verses 25 through 27. Can I get a volunteer to read that, please?
If someone came to report to them, "Behold, the men who were put in prison are standing in the temple of the people," then the captain went along with the officers and proceeded to bring them back without trial, for they were afraid of the people, which they should be stoned. And when they had brought them, it stood them before the council, the high priest questioned them.
So, Jane, what did the captain do?
He went to get them.
He went to get them. And he didn't go back in an attitude. The captain didn't go to approach them with an attitude of being violent against them. And why? They were afraid of the people. They were afraid that many of the men and women who were added to this body would cause them harm. Ron?
No, while we are studying this in chapter 5, I think one of the most prominent people that was there that's not mentioned is Paul, Saul at the time. He was right there. A little bit later on, we find that he was a witness to the stoning of Stephen.
Mm-hmm.
But he was there because Gamaliel was there, and Paul studied him.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no doubt that Paul was right there in the middle of all of it.
That's a good point. We could actually ask him when we get to heaven if he stood among them. And I'm in agreement that he probably was there, and he was probably witnessing the growth of this way. And he said, well, we have to stop this because this is against God's will. And we see what happened later on in the 9th chapter. Oh, very good observation. So in verse 25, the council made an unbelievable discovery. The apostles had not fled for their lives like other escaped convicts would have. They stuck around. They were standing in the temple and teaching the people rather than escape with their lives. They stood and followed God's will. And the angel told them, go, stand, teach, speak the whole word. We also notice the council never seen a conviction in hope like that of the apostles. They were convicted no matter what the cost was to their lives that they will stand fast and do God's will. And the conviction and hope the apostles shared was that the resurrection of Jesus has actually happened. They were witnesses to this. That men must believe the resurrection of Jesus Christ and repent to know God and to be saved. That they must proclaim the gospel no matter the persecution. That's an admonition to us today. When we go out and people, I'm not humiliating you for proclaiming God's word. They are not accepting God's word. So just remember that. They don't want to listen and obey God. And it must have been amazing to the council that these men didn't flee, but yet they stood and were preaching and teaching God's word. So why did the high priest avoid mentioning the name of Jesus in verse 28? Who would like to read that particular verse?
Saying, he gave you strict orders not to mention Jesus' name.
So, Faye, what do they fear? Exactly. They feared that the apostles will tell all the people that the high priest was responsible for the death of Jesus. And later on, we're going to see that happen. And they were accused. So three charges were brought against the disciples, or the apostles. And in the first time they were arrested, they had broken a specific law, a law that the high priest, the elders, the scribes, the council, and which consisted of the Sadducees and Pharisees. And that specific law was that the name and resurrection of Jesus Christ was not to be preached. And what was the apostles doing? They were preaching and teaching Jesus crucified and raised again from the dead. They were thought to have taught a false doctrine, a doctrine that misled and stirred up the people. Of course, you see what's happening with the preaching of the gospel. We go back to the second chapter, we see 5,000 people were added. Many people, men and women, were coming to Jesus through the teaching of the apostles. And they were thought to have threatened insurrection, to have falsely accused the government of injustice and murder. And the leaders feared that they would lose control of people, their support and loyalty. They knew full well that their position and livelihood were at stake. So they were afraid they were going to lose control. Control of what they already had. So what reason did the apostles give for their disobedience to the council? And that is in verse 29. Who would like to read that particular verse? Thank you very much, Eileen. So what did they respond? Exactly. Very good, very good. So we must obey God rather than men. We see that the saved are those who obey God. We also notice that saying salvation is surrendering in obedience to the authority of Jesus Christ as Lord. And the Holy Spirit is given to every saved person as salvation. They were preaching the gospel message, no matter what the cost was. In fact, I could remember, it's been a long time, 40 years ago maybe, my first sermon. I had sheets and sheets of paper, and all of a sudden, 10 minutes was over. And I looked at this particular verse and I said it backwards. So I'm still learning. But yet, when we look at this particular verse, we should indel upon our hearts, we must obey God rather than man. So why, what made the Jewish elders furious in verses 29 through 32? Can I get a volunteer to read that particular scripture, please?
Peter and the apostles said, we must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you had put to death by hanging him on the cross. He is the one whom God exalted to his right hand as a prince and a savior, to grant repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin. We are witnesses of these things, so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him.
So in this particular section, what did Peter accuse the council?
You murdered this guy.
Exactly.
You murdered Jesus.
Exactly. Peter and the apostles accused the council of putting Jesus to death by hanging him on the cross. But yet they said, we must obey God rather than men. And we go on to see further in this section, the apostles show their loyalty to God through their obedience to God. They obeyed him rather than men. He has raised up and exalted Christ. And God had three purposes for raising Christ. We see, first of all, God exalted Jesus to his right hand as the prince and the savior. We see that by raising Christ from the dead, this was to offer repentance to Israel. And if we go back to the Old Testament, we could see all the times that they were offering sacrifices, but yet that did not give them repentance. We see that Jesus' death on the cross was to offer Israel forgiveness of sins. And we went through our study of the Bible overview in the Old Testament. We see that over and over again. What did the children of Israel do? They sinned against the Lord. Sometimes they repented. Many times they didn't. But yet they sinned. They transgressed God's law. And God did not want to see them lost. So when Jesus came and died on the cross, he shed his blood not only for us today to have salvation, but those who were faithful Israelites who put God first, put Jehovah first in their lives. They received salvation. And remember, our study of the Old Testament, we see that there's only a remnant of people are going to be saved. And God showed us time and time again that remnant. And even in today's economy, there's only a remnant that's going to be saved. Just because you claim you're a Christian doesn't give you salvation. You have to display that in your life every day to the best of your ability. So what was the Sanhedrin's response to Peter in verse 33? Who would like to read that particular verse?
But when they heard this, they were cut to the quick and were intending to slay them.
Exactly. So what did they want them to do? Kill them. They were cut to the quick and intended to kill them. We see that the religious leaders were cut to the quick. Their hearts were sawn into two parts through and through. And the idea is that they were cut to the heart, not with conviction, but with anger, wrath, rage, and action against the apostles. They were so furious about their teaching, their emotions took over and carried them. They took counsel. They were of one mind, intending to kill the apostles. They killed Jesus, so why not we kill these apostles who were spreading the same message? Repent from your sins and be baptized. How did Gamaliel intervene in verses 34 through 39? Who would like to read that particular passage, please? It's a little long reading, but it covers quite a bit.
But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, respected by all people, stood up in the council and gave orders to put the men outside for a short time. And he said to them, "Men of Israel, take care of what you propose to do with these men. For some time ago, Thaddeus rose up claiming to be somebody, and a group of about 400 men joined up with him. But he was killed, and all who followed him were dispersed and came to nothing. After this man, Judas of Galilee rose up in the days of the census and drew away some people after him. He too perished, and all those who followed him were scattered. So in the present case, I say to you, stay away from these men and let them alone, for if this plan or action is of men, it will be overthrown. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them or else you may even be found fighting against God.
Thank you, Carol, for reading that scripture. So we see that a lot of men use their emotions, but people who think and actually rationalize, as Camille, he was rational, controlled, and governed by higher purposes than self-interest. In the consul, the high priest and the consul was not. They were looking, seeking for their own interests. And Gamaliel shared the following with the consul. So he came up with a discourse to share with the consul his thoughts on the situation. Gamaliel cited two examples with the consul of man's quest for power that failed. And a lot of people knew what happened with these individuals. In verse 36, as Carol had read, for some time ago, Thaddeus rose up and claiming to be someone, and a group of 400 men joined up with him, but he was killed, and all who followed him were dispersed and came to nothing. He gave a second example to the consul, was that in verse 37. After this man, Judas of Galilee rose up in the days of the census and drew away some people after him. He too perished, and all those who followed him were scattered. So the two individual accounts where man failed to take control. He offers this reason to the council: if they are not of God, they will soon disappear from the scene. They will be frustrated and exposed by God himself.
Is it time to go, buddy?
Well, almost, but I want to go.
The apostles and Peter and the apostles were seeking for their own interest. God will expose them. He also shares this particular comment: if they are of God, all the forces of the world cannot overthrow them. You're going against God if these men are of God. So think about what you are proposing to do by killing these individuals. They killed Jesus. And now that his apostles are going forth and proclaiming the gospel message, the death, burial, and resurrection, you have to be aware, if this is God's plan, you cannot overcome God. So be cautious. And we see what happened in the next couple of verses. So how did the elders deal with the apostles? Who would like to read verse 40, please?
And they took his advice, and after calling the apostles in, they flogged them and ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and then released them.
Thank you. Daiso, what did they do to the apostles?
Flogged them.
They flogged them?
Then they released them. Well, they told them not to speak.
Exactly. They told them not to speak in the name of Jesus. And then they released them. They slapped their hands again. But yet they took Gamaliel's advice. If they are not of God, you don't have anything to worry about. But if they were of God, you do have something to worry about, because you cannot defeat God. So, as Dai said, that they flogged him, and they said, hey, don't talk about Jesus anymore. Don't speak in his name. And then they released him. But yet we learned in the previous verses that Peter told them, we must obey God rather than man, rather than men. And that's something that we should indel upon our hearts when we proclaim the message, the gospel message to others. So why did the apostles, what did the apostles do after they left the Sanhedrin, after they left the council? In verses 41 through 42, who would like to read those particular verses, please?
So they went on their way in the presence of the council, rejoicing that they had been considered worthy to suffer shame for his name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they kept right on teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ.
So what did the apostles do after they were released?
They rejoiced.
And what else? They kept on teaching and preaching from the temple to house. That's an example for us. We should be teaching the death, burial, and resurrection no matter where we are, in an assembly or from house to house, people that we meet. So we see that the apostles were rejoicing and joyous about that they have been considered worthy to suffer shame for the name of Jesus. At all costs, they obey God. And God stirred within their hearts a sense of courage and purpose. They boldly proclaim the gospel message, something that we should adapt in our lives. Be courageous enough to go out and speak to our friends and neighbors. And who is our neighbor? That's everybody else that we know, other than ourselves. And as Jane had said, that every day in the temple, and from house to house, they kept on teaching and preaching Jesus, who is God's Son. He died on the cross and provided salvation for all men. All humanity has an opportunity to have salvation if they believe. If they believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and he died on the cross for their sins. And this is what the apostles were doing, teaching and preaching this message. Even after the Sanhedrin told them, don't preach in the name of Jesus. But they did. They did. And they knew what the consequences were going to be. And we find out through history, through reading scriptures, that a lot of those individuals died for the cause of Christ. We don't face that in our lives today, but yet, if we did, we have the challenge to put God first in our lives and be faithful servants of His. Thank you very much for your comments and readings. And are there anybody want to add anything to this lesson? If not, we will be dismissed a few minutes early. And by the way, next week's lesson sheets are on the back, and I'll try to send them out Friday or Saturday of this week, so you'll have.